A reading from the first book of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons." As Jesse and his sons came to the sacrifice, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." In the same way, Jesse presented 7 sons before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any one of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest who is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives here." Jesse sent and had the young man brought to them. He was ruddy, a youth handsome to behold, and making a splendid appearance. The Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel, with the horn of oil in hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul.
The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want.
He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the valley, dark valley, I fear no evil. For you are at my side, with your rod and your staff that give me courage.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them, for it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
I am the light of the world, says the Lord. Whoever follows me will have the light of life.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, isn't this the one that used to sit and beg? Some said, it is. But others said, no, he just looks like him. He said, I am. So they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He replied, the man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went there and washed and was able to see. And they said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a sinful man do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, what do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see? His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, he is of age. Question him. So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He replied, if he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? They ridiculed him and said, You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from. The man answered and said to them, This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. They answered and said to him, You were born totally in sin and are trying to teach us? Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered and said, Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, I do believe, Lord. And he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, Surely we are not also blind, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, We see. So your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I have worn glasses since I was in the second grade. If I take them off, I'll disappear. Not entirely true. I mean, what I see before me is this huge, fuzzy blob of interlocking colors. But I tell you this, if you were really, really still and very quiet, I might not know you're actually there. I mean, it's a physical defect, a defect of, you know, physics, the science of optics. Basically, the lenses of my eyes don't focus the light properly on my retina, so I don't actually see properly what's there. I know some of you, you know, are in the same boat as me wearing glasses, but I see plenty of you that don't. So if you're blessed with great eyesight, try to recall if you've watched in a movie or a TV show where they do one of these, you know, rack out of focus shots where everything's in clear and all of a sudden everything gets super blurry. Well, the super blurry is how I see all the time. Now, I might have even been considered a blind man in Jesus' day because I can't even see my hand on the end of my arm. That's how bad it is. But with the help of these glasses, the light gets focused properly. It gets bent into a path that helps me to see things as they truly are in the world around me. Well, in just such a way, each one of us goes through life not quite clearly seeing the light of God in our lives. And each of us varies a little bit one way from the other, and it may change as our life goes along, as our faith life grows within us. Now, as people of faith, we believe Jesus came into the world to be the light that drives away the darkness of sin and enables us better to see as God would have us see. Now, God sees differently from we do, and we got our first example from that in our first reading today when the prophet Samuel is sent to the house of Jesse, going to go anoint somebody, going to have a big dinner, going to have a nice big religious gathering. So what does Jesse do? He assigns the youngest kid, you got lamb duty, the rest of us are going to be here for the important guy. So when Samuel looks around and God says, the one I'm looking for isn't here, it's a surprise. And the scripture even says, not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart. So in a surprise, they have to wait for the one that God has chosen. Throughout the Old Testament, there are quite a number of these surprise choices by God. They're a surprise to us because we don't see things quite the way God does. Last week, we saw the story of Joseph being chosen over his 11 brothers. Elsewhere in the Old Testament, there's Joseph's father, Jacob, was chosen over his older brother, Esau. In another place, God asks Gideon to dismiss his army down to 300 people so that when they go up against this army of thousands upon thousands, the victory will be an obvious miracle at the hand of God. Moving on into the gospel today, first person we encounter, beggar, man blind, sitting on the side of the road, probably totally overlooked by people, just another part of the scenery as they go back and forth in their day-to-day routine. Lowest of the low. But what happens to him? Jesus picks him out to give him a truly marvelous gift. Multifaceted gift, in fact. The first part of the gift, Jesus dispels the early first century notion that any illness, any deformity, any incapacity that a person might have, disability, is a result of their sin. Jesus says, no, has nothing to do with that, has nothing to do with that. And in this case in particular, it exists for a very special purpose, so that the works of God may be made visible. In other words, this guy was blind solely for the purpose of the teaching moment that's about to happen. The teaching moment for the disciples, the people around, all the way down to us and every generation in between through the words of the gospel. His blindness was for the glory of God. Now, once the man receives his sight, we go through this long back and forth. First this scene here, then that scene there. They ask him a question, he replies. This is a really, really long gospel reading, and I thank you all for having the patience and endurance to stand up during it. But if you notice carefully, every time the man talks about Jesus as he goes to the next step, it moves up a little bit, sort of like growing in faith. The first time he talks about him, he says, oh, that was this guy Jesus. He took mud and slipped it in my eye and had me go wash. Just a guy. The next time he talks about it, Jesus is a prophet. And then in a truly remarkable speech to the Pharisees, which I hardly recommend you go and reread at some point, he says to the Pharisees that Jesus must be from God. And further, this formerly blind man is amazed that the experts in the law don't get that Jesus is a prophet. Ultimately, he calls Jesus Lord, acknowledging him as God, and worships him. To emphasize this point that the blind man has just made, Jesus himself confronts the Pharisees. He tells them their sin is greater. Their sin is greater because despite the advantage they have of being able to read, despite being experts in the law and the prophets, they don't recognize the signs of him being the Messiah that are playing out all around them, and that John takes great pains to document throughout his gospel as Jesus moves on the road to Jerusalem. Now, for you and I, it's kind of like what St. Paul writes in his letter today. You were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. He's referring to our baptism, which is sometimes called enlightenment, okay? In which we are to die to the darkness of sin and rise to be the light of Christ in the world. In fact, part of the ceremony, we light a candle off of the Easter candle, and we hold it next to the one being baptized, and we say, receive the light of Christ. And then we encourage them to go out and take the light of Christ out of the church and into the world, just as our Lord asks us to do. So, as we come to this halfway point in Lent, this Laetare Sunday, this joyful Sunday, let's ask ourselves, are we bringing Christ's light into the world? Are we bringing Christ's light into the world? Let's ask ourselves, what must we do to adjust our spiritual sight to see others as God sees them, or to see ourselves as God sees us. Let's think about this. Given the benefit of having received the gospel message, given the benefit of the sacraments, given the benefit of the guidance of the Holy Spirit for 2,000 plus years, ever since Pentecost Sunday, are we open to the light? Or are we as blind as the Pharisees? When we see the Eucharist here on the altar, does our vision stop at the bread and wine as only bread and wine? Or do we see with the sight of God? Are our eyes opened to the light of faith to see the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made present there on the altar? If we find that we have trouble with any of this, then let's ask Jesus, who is known as the divine physician. Let's ask that divine physician to be our eye doctor of our soul, so that we might see. God love you.